The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 20th through Sunday, May 27th, 2024. The commentary for May was written by Kira Austin Young, an Episcopal priest currently serving at the Episcopal Church of St. Mary the Virgin in San Francisco, though she also has roots in Texas and Tennessee. She is the author of Pro-Choice and Christian, Reconciling Faith, Politics, and Justice, and has been a contributing writer for other publications as well. The commentary for Monday, May 20th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Here's the commentary. How do we know that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Christ? Even John the Baptist, hearing about Jesus' teaching and ministry, asks the question. In my mind, John's question is one that is more hopeful than accusatory. In his time, there was no singular idea of the Messiah across Judaism. But one common portrayal of the future Messiah was as a military leader who would restore the kingdom of Israel, a distinct contrast with the lifestyle of Jesus of Nazareth. It's no wonder John asked the question. Per usual, Jesus does not answer John directly. He gestures toward the prophecy in Isaiah 35 of what God's intervention in the world should look like. The healing, liberation, and flourishing that Jesus' ministry brings is reminiscent of the prophesied Messianic era. Far from a military hero, Jesus' ministry tells us God's character and God's will for the world. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 20th, imagine yourself as John asking questions of Jesus. What would you want to know? The commentary for Tuesday, May 21st, begins with a passage from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 20. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Though I was raised in the church, like many young people, I took some time during my teenage years to figure out what I believed. Many of my friends were hostile toward more conservative expressions of Christianity, and I felt caught in the middle because I valued the Christian tradition that I'd inherited. One day I decided to open my Bible and read it for myself, turning to 1 John. If I'd been exposed to this letter before, the words had not made an impression, but they did that day. In reading 1 John, I found a summation of my faith at a time when I struggled to articulate it, that loving God and loving people were intertwined and that we know the love of God through Jesus. I love God best by striving to love God's creation, even those who make it difficult to love them. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And the moving forward question for this day is, what scripture passages articulate your faith? The commentary for Wednesday, May 22nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 9. Excuse me, chapter 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. The rejection of both John the Baptist and Jesus for opposite reasons is a sign of the hypocrisy of their critics. Personally, I love that some of the criticism of Jesus was that He had too good of a time and hung out with the wrong people. In other words, God's kingdom is not only a present reality in Jesus' deeds of power and healing, but also in meals and fellowship with those not considered respectable members of society. Sharing food and wine with tax collectors and sinners is as much of a sign of the inbreaking of God's reign as Jesus' miracles and preaching. In its best iteration, our Eucharistic feast every Sunday is this sign among us today. Jesus sets and hosts the table and invites all of us, tax collectors, sinners, rejects, to come and partake with and of Him. And now I'm going to read the full passage of the Gospel for today from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 24. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you. And the moving forward suggestion for this Wednesday is invite a neighbor or visitor from church to break bread and share fellowship over dinner. Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, May 23rd. It begins with a passage from the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. In the wake of continuing gun violence, particularly mass shootings in the United States, the phrase thoughts and prayers has gotten a bad reputation. It is perceived as a way for politicians to dodge responsibility or future action while acknowledging a tragedy. Despite being people of prayer themselves, even Christians scoff at people with power who offer thoughts and prayers. I worry that this trend equates prayer with doing nothing, when prayer is the most important thing we can do. Seeking God's will in prayer, lifting up the concerns and griefs of our hearts, especially in regard to untimely and violent deaths, prepares us for right action, to be aware of and able to respond when God calls us. God absolutely hears our thoughts and prayers, and we should guard against cynicism that tells us that prayer is not as useful or beneficial as other responses. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one, to those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not mortal. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. We know that we are God's children and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And the moving forward question for this day is, what is your response to acts of violence? If you say thoughts and prayers, do you follow that up with actual prayer? The commentary for Friday, May 24th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 11. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has only one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out?" Throughout Matthew's Gospel, Jesus wrangles with the Pharisees over their differing interpretations of the law. But it is crucial for us present-day readers to remember that Jesus is far from an opponent of the law. In fact, he says in Matthew 5 that he has come not to destroy but to fulfill the law. Jesus very much values the law, but teaches that the law was made for humans, not humans for the law, and therefore there needs to be some latitude for when life happens. As an Episcopalian and a type A rule follower, I believe rules are good and point us in the right direction. But I also need to remember to have room for leeway. One mentor of mine, alluding to the Book of Common Prayer, called this the rubric of common sense. In granting flexibility, Jesus also offers us grace. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today. It's from Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He left that place and entered their synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" so that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has only one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored, as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him and how to destroy him. And the moving forward question for this Friday, May 24th, is, do you believe rules are meant to be broken? What is Jesus saying in this passage? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, May 25th. It begins with a passage from Proverbs in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, chapter 8, verse 22. "The Lord created me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of long ago." There is popular saying that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting a tomato in a fruit salad. Wisdom is an underrated quality today, especially when we consider those whom our society admires. But Proverbs says that wisdom personified was one of God's first creations. Wisdom was present in the calling forth of the universe, as we know it, and is embedded around us in the logic of creation. The cultivation of wisdom runs counter to the move fast and break things mentality of innovation. Wisdom requires discernment and thoughtfulness. This takes time, solitude, and quiet. As an amalgamation of experience, knowledge, and deep understanding, wisdom is as valuable as it is rare. In 1 Corinthians, Paul refers to Jesus as the wisdom of God, and some read this passage from Proverbs as talking about Jesus despite the Son's eternal and uncreated nature. Nevertheless, the link between wisdom and Jesus enlightens both. Now I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 36. The Lord created me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs, abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When He had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When He made firm the skies above. When He established the fountains of the deep. When He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command. When He marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside Him, like a master worker, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world and delighting in the human race. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, May 25th, is, where do you find wisdom? Now, as we near the end of this week's program and reach the end of the week, let's look at the commentary for Sunday, May 26th, which is, in fact, Trinity Sunday. The commentary begins with a passage from Psalm 29, verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The scripture readings for today's celebration of the Trinity focus on the holiness of God. If you attend a church service with music, you will likely sing many hymns that cry out, Holy, Holy, Holy. In one church, I sat near a stained glass window with this verse from Psalm 29 etched on it, and I meditated on it when my attention drifted during parts of the liturgy. The relationship between beauty and holiness intrigued me. It is not hard for me to feel worshipful in a soaring cathedral surrounded by beautiful stained glass windows and expert organ playing. But God's holiness is not dependent on our aesthetic preferences. The beauty of holiness is the divinity that is the Holy Trinity, three in one. It is a mystery so beyond our human comprehension or explanation that all we can do is fall down in worship, in awe at the beauty and holiness that is our God. And now I'm going to read from the full Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild fox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all say, Glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. And let's conclude with a passage for this day from Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, Trinity Sunday, how do you understand the Trinity? Can you embrace the mystery even without full comprehension? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.